loves you, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, indeed, thank you for loving us and for allowing us to experience that, receive that, and know that in our own hearts and lives. Thank you for the passage of Scripture that we see today, Lord, that says the same thing. Thank you for your tremendous and great love for us. May we receive that again, respond to that, and even love you more for it. Guide us as we study your word and just accomplish your will. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you would take your Bible and turn with me, please, to a very familiar passage, John chapter 3. We're going to put in verse 15. And go down to verse 18, but our key verse will be John 3, 16. Last week we began a brief series looking at the great gospel truths or the great themes of the gospel. We saw last week from Exodus chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, a picture of the gospel, of God's sacrifice for us. Remember that passage about the institution of the Passover. It was the last and the tenth plague that God brought upon the Egyptians to deliver his people. And God told his people a secret. And that is that night, the death angel was going to pass through the land, through Egypt, and every family that did not have the blood all painted over the doorpost was going to lose their firstborn. God didn't tell the Egyptians that. They didn't do that. But he told his people. They painted the blood, which is a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ, by which we are forgiven and have eternal life. That is the great gospel truth, the great sacrificial blood of Jesus. Folks, listen, gospel and salvation is simple, but you do have to believe in the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sin. That's the essence of the cross, why Jesus died. He shed his blood that we might be accepted by the Father. Today we're looking, we've already sung about it, we're looking at gospel love. In fact, I want to just read the verses now, if we may, beginning in verse 15. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he that does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Today we're looking at gospel love. John 3:16 has probably been called a lot of things. It's been called the gospel in miniature, because he said the very essence, the core values, the core truths of the gospel. It's been called the gospel summarized. It's also been called, and I heard this week and read this week for the first time, it's been called the golden text. I like that. And of course, it's the theme verse for all of the Bible, John 3:16. It talks about gospel love. You know, there's a lot of different kinds of love, even different kinds of love in the Greek language. Most of us are probably familiar with at least two or three Greek words for our English word love. But actually, there are seven, apparently. Some we're familiar with, some perhaps not. The first is eros. We've probably heard of that. It's the romantic and sexual love, passionate love. Second is philia, also known as Philadelphia, which is brotherly love, authentic friendship. A lot of what the Bible says about love is Philadelphia love. Ludus, love, in the Greek, is playful or flirtatious love. Storge, probably heard that word before, is unconditional and familial love, strong commitment. You know when people love you and care for you because they're there for you and committed to you. Then there's philia love, self-love. I'll have to be honest with you, I'm a little bit skeptical and sometimes wary of hearing about loving ourselves. We ought to love God first and others second, but there is a place for healthy self-love. And the Greek language even speaks of that. Pragma is committed or companionate love. And then, of course, there's agape love, which is divine love, God's love, sacrificial love, empathetic love, selfless love. It's the love of genuine interest and determined dedication. It's God's love. It's gospel love. John 3:16 has in its text the Greek word agape. It talks about gospel and God's kind of love. It's the John 3:16 is probably the most known and favored and loved verse for most people. And it's one I think our children know, perhaps from Sunday school, perhaps from the home, perhaps from Awana. And I want to do something special, if I may. And I don't want to put anybody on the spot. I don't want to make any of our children feel uncomfortable. But I'm pretty confident that our Awana kids know John 3:16. Am I right in that? So we'll see, and I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable, but I want to ask our children, at least elementary age and even younger, if they feel comfortable, and parents and adults think that's all right, and even older kids if you want to. But I'm going to ask our elementary age of one of kids or any kids who feel comfortable, stand with me if you would please. Am I going to have any takers? Yeah, come on guys, lead the way here. All right, all the kids stand. Come on, you're not going to let these guys be the only ones, are you? All right, guys, let's show them up, okay? Here's what I want to do. And you probably learned this in a different version. I'm stuck with the King James, so I'm going to encourage you guys to speak up big and loud. Girls, the rest of you, there you go, thank you, girls. Stand up. The rest of you join us if you want to. You get a little break, but that'd be great. I want you to speak up loud. If you don't, I'm going to say it with you. But if you do, I'm going to let you go, all right? You know John 3:16? Are you ready? For God
so loved the world, gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Amen. God bless you. Good job. You know those words were first spoken to Nicodemus in this chapter, John chapter 3. He came to Jesus by night. He knew Jesus was very important. He knew he was a prophet, a great teacher. He was trying to understand, I think, even more about Jesus. And Jesus kind of cut him off in the very beginning. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. He didn't understand that. But Jesus began to explain. And then in that context, Jesus said to him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16 has been called the greatest single verse in the Bible, probably because the theme of God's love is communicated in powerful terms of God's love and salvation. Romans 5:8, you're probably familiar with that great verse as well, for God commended or showed or demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet and still sinners, Christ died for us. Can I give you what I think is appropriate definition of gospel love, God's kind of love? It's the love of God shown through his redemptive plan for humanity, otherwise known as the loving self-sacrifice of a holy God for sinful mankind. That's just about the heart of it. It's the expression, the loving expression of a holy God for sinful people. So I want us to see in this one verse, John 3:16, five aspects of gospel love, and they're very obvious. And by the way, probably most of us see John 3:16 as a little bit kind of sacred and holy. All of God's Word is Holy Scripture. But this is a special verse, and I take it pretty seriously. I do all of the Word, but there's just something special about John 3:16. And I want us to see five aspects of gospel love. Number one, the source. The source. It's obvious. For God so loved the world. It is the God the Father in relationship to the world. God is the source of gospel love. If John, the first John, says anything critical and basic and crucial about God, it is that God is love. Doesn't say he does love. He does love. Doesn't say he has just an attribute of love, but his essential natural character and essence is love. God is loving. Everything about God is loving. And so God so loved the world. His love is emphatic. It is greatly expressed. God so loved the world. That's what we sang this morning too. He so loved us. It's the personal love of and from God. It's not distant and indifferent or cold, but it's close and intimate. God loves us intimately and powerfully. I don't know if you've ever heard of a man by the name of Tony Campola. Anybody ever heard of Tony Campola? Don't say this to be critical. He is not the most conservative theologian. I'm not sure he even claimed to be a theologian. He's a Christian sociologist, and he has some good things to say from a Christian perspective. I wouldn't agree with him on some things, but I agree with him with this. He says, God carries your picture in his wallet. Now, we would probably want to change that in this modern day. He said, God carries our picture in his phone. But the point is the same. God cares for us, he loves us, and so he maintains an image of us. We have our children and grandchildren pictures in our wallets or on our phone because we love them and they belong to us. They're ours. And God has that kind of committed love to us. Augustine, the great Christian leader, also says something great and powerful, probably a little more theological. He says, God loves each of us as if there was only one of us. Now, you heard it said like this, if you're the only person who ever lived in the world, and you're the only sinner in the world, Jesus would have come and died for you. That's Jesus and God's love for us. It's the love for a prodigal son. I have to think of this story. Probably the greatest illustration ever and in the scripture of God's kind of love is what we see in the parable of the prodigal son. And I know there's two sons, but it's that younger son, it's that rebellious son, it's that son that said, Father, I don't want to be your son anymore. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to go off my own, give me my inheritance, and let me have my life. And the father said, okay. He went and lived in riotous, the Bible says, or sinful, terrible living, and lived all up. And then he got into things he never thought he would have. And he said, you know what? The Bible says he came to his mind and his sanity. And he said, you know what? Even my father's servants have it better than this. I'm going to go home. I'm not going to go home as a son, but I'm going to go home as a servant and say, Father, I was wrong. I don't expect you to receive me as a son, but I want to be your servant. And you know the rest of the story. The father saw him, received him, celebrated his coming home. What a great love of a father for a prodigal son. And that's God's love for us. It's a great story I heard of an elderly lady. Don't know her name. Don't even remember for sure if her name was given in the article and in the story. But it's a great elderly lady who loved the Lord, walked with the Lord, knew him, served him for a long time, for the majority of her life, all of her adult life. As she got older, for she loved the Lord, she loved his word, she knew a lot of scripture, and her favorite verse, I believe, is 2 Timothy 1:12, where it says, I'm persuaded. I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The story goes on that as she got older, the last probably decade or so of her life, she got Alzheimer's. And her memory began to fade, and the scriptures began to get more distant. But she remembered that one the longest. And even way into her illness, she could remember some of the words. She said, I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. And in the last few days of her life, all she could remember was him. That she would say it. Him. 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 Because she knew the love of the Savior. She knew the love of the Father and the love of God in her life. She never forgot God and the love he had for her. The source of gospel love is God. God so loved the world. Secondly, I want you to see the scope, and that is the world. For God so loved the world, that's the people of the world, all people. There's no class distinction, no gender or age or intellectual or national or social distinction with God. God loves all people of all time, any and everywhere. All people are God's scope of love, an object of love. God loves all humanity. The Bible says that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus died, listen to this, if you don't know anything, know this. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. There's not been any person of any time who ever lived whose sins were not put on Jesus on the cross to pay for their sins. And because that's true, let me make two clarifications. And I don't want to offend anyone this morning. It's not my purpose to speak evil of anything. But I'm just going to tell you there is, in my mind, in my heart, in my understanding of Scripture, and this very truth, there is no limited atonement when it comes to the cross of Christ. There is, and again, I don't want to offend anyone. If you disagree with me, I respect that. I respect that. But I just can't understand from Scripture any allowance for limited atonement. The doctrine, in some cases, the doctrine of election or predestination has an element of what they call limited atonement. That just simply means Jesus didn't die for everyone. He died only for the elect. And I believe with all my heart, every person who will spend eternity in hell still had their sins put on the cross, and Jesus paid their sin because he loved them.
Amen.
Not all will be saved, but all are loved. I'll guarantee you that. Secondly, this is not to speak of universal salvation. Just because God loves everyone doesn't mean everyone is saved. It's not automatic. It does take faith. It does take turning to Christ. It does take repentance. It does take the grace of God changing our life. There is something that God does dramatically and powerfully and divinely in our life. It's not universal. Not everyone will be saved. The sad truth is the masses and the most of people will not be saved. But they can be. Because Jesus died for everyone. The scope of gospel love is the world. You mark it down. I believe that's why God wants all the world to be evangelized. Because there are people all around the world who will receive Christ, and Christ died for all. Thirdly, I want us to see the sacrifice. For God so loved the world that what? He gave his only begotten Son. The word gave there obviously speaks of grace. It speaks of God freely and without any merit in our own lives, giving us Jesus. And Jesus died for our sin. But it also means there is absolutely no reserve. It is given fully, given completely, and the word also means a giving up of. It is a surrendering over. And Jesus gave his life for us. It was a giving up of his life for us. The Father sacrificed his Son. Again, probably the greatest picture of that in the Bible, in the Old Testament, is Abraham taking Isaac, taking him to the mountain, telling his servants, the boy and I will go up and make a sacrifice and we will return. He was saying one of two things. Either God is not going to go through with this, which I don't think is the case. We might have hoped that if it was us, we would might logically and hope that if there's any hope for the son to live. Father said, no, Isaac, Abraham, I don't mean it. And God does change his mind. As Abraham is coming down with the knife on Isaac, God says, there's the sacrifice I want. The lamb caught in the thickets. But if God didn't say, that's not what I want you to do, then God would have to raise his son from the dead. Isaac is a picture of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ for our forgiveness of sin. We see a father's agenda and the father's anguish. You know what Jesus said? Jesus says, I have come into this world to give my life. The Father has sent me. My mission is to die on the cross for the sins of all the world. It was his agenda. There was great, great, great anguish. I think the Father had anguish. I know the Son had anguish. Jesus struggled with it. The night before, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed earnestly that the cup would be taken away. Nevertheless, not my will, Father, but your will be done. But there was anguish there. I think the Father had anguish too. I mean, y'all remember, probably 15 years ago or so, Mel Gibson's great movie, The Passion of Christ. I mean, it's very, very graphic. But one of the things I remember as well, and this is probably movie director's license or prerogative, but you remember the scene when Jesus on the cross, a great big rain-drawn came down from the heavens. I think that's symbolic of the Father's grief, the Father's tear, the Father's sorrow and anguish when Jesus was dying on the cross and even alienated from him because of our sin. Great, great sacrifice. Alicia Brooks' word says, the shape of true love isn't a diamond, not to take away from appropriate gifts at Valentine's. Ladies, I don't want to give the wrong message here, but nonetheless, the greatest love is not a diamond, but she says it's a cross. The greatest shape of love is the cross of Christ. A love that is three things real quickly. First of all, undeserved. That's why it's by grace. You can't say I deserve it. We don't. But God gives it by grace. And even undesired, I don't know about you, but most people, without the nudging of God, the conviction of God, the wooing of the Holy Spirit, just absolutely don't have any desire to be saved. Have no desire for God in their life. And it's unexplainable. I mean, it really is. How great God's love is for us. And I would dare say, and this is just my own heart, my guess is we will spend eternity discovering more of the great love of God for us. It's unexplainable. Number four, gospel love is steadfast. There's a steadfastness in gospel love. This is the one thing that's characteristic of us as believers. All the rest of this is a characteristic and expressive of the Father. But when we trust Christ, there is a steadfastness in response to gospel love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, there is a condition. There is a required experience to receive the love, or at least the forgiveness of God and eternal life. It's trust, it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a reliance and a total dependence. And it is a conviction that keeps on trusting. It keeps on holding fast. Someone said the word means that keeping on believing ones. Those who believe are those who keep on believing. Not just for a while until things got tough, but continually throughout their life rely on Christ for who he is and what he's done. That's the one who's received gospel love. I want to do something else this morning. I'm going to start at 20 years, and that's not to disrespect anyone who is younger and hasn't known the Lord for 20 years, but nonetheless, I'm going to start there. If you have known the Lord, love the Lord, serve the Lord, you know that he has been your Savior Lord for at least 20 years, raise your hand. Yeah. And keep it up. However, I'm going to go a little further. If this is not the case, take your hand down. If you've known the Lord, love the Lord, you know He's been the Lord and Savior of your life for 30 years at least, keep your hand up. 40 years? 50 years? 50 years? 60 years? Plus? Amen. You know what? And that's true of any of us who had our hands up, being some younger ones. You have steadfast love. You believed and you still believe. You've trusted Him and you're still trusting Him for forgiveness of sin. That's the faith that responds to and receives gospel love. It's not just intellectual faith, but it's a faith that trusts God always. And God bless you for that. Then finally, there's security. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is, provides what man really, really needs, and that is escape from death, physical death ultimately, and spiritual death, and possession of eternal life. The security, listen to me, the security we have in the love of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ is eternal security. It's not having eternal death, but having eternal life. I've done this before, but I want to remind you what Ephesians 3:18 says. It talks about the love of God. What is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height of the love of God? And W.A. Criswell relates that to John 3:16. He says, you want to know whether it's the breadth of God's love? It's the whole world. You want to know what is the length? That He gave His only begotten Son. What is the depth? That none shall perish. And what's the height? That will have eternal life. Romans 8:35 and 39. We're not going to take the time to read the scripture, but I encourage you to do that sometime soon. 35 asks the question, what shall separate us from the love of God? And some of the things he addresses is affliction, distress, life, angels, rulers, future things, powers, created things. And his answer is no, no, none of that. Nothing, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. We will not die. We will have eternal, everlasting life because of gospel love. Franklin Graham says, no matter what storm you face, you need to know that God loves you. He has not abandoned you. He is with you, and He always will be. Heard the story in one context of three different people. Don't know a lot of details about them, don't know their names. But all of these people have grown old, and in all their adult life, knew the Lord, loved the Lord, conscious of the Lord. And in the last few moments or consciousness of their life, all three of these people sang or used the words, Jesus loves me. This I know. The first was a poor leper, I believe, in northern Africa. Not sure when he lived. Had a horrible life. Physically, the leprosy began to eat at his body, deteriorate. And yet his last words is, Jesus loves me. This I know. A lady in Bolivia called simply Sister Maria. Don't know any more about her, so that she lived her life loving the Lord, the last words of her heart and on her lips were, Jesus, love me. And then a person who's just simply called Aunt Ola, who probably knows some aunts like this, loved the Lord, lived with Him all their adult life, and regardless of ups and downs and trials and tragedies in life, the last thought and the last thing in their hearts and minds was, Jesus loves me. I believe every true believer will have that experience. We'll know when our life is over that Jesus loves us because He loves us eternally. There's security in God's love. I'm going to ask some very simple questions as we close. Do you know that love today? I'm not asking you made a commitment necessarily, that you were baptized, you're a member of this church or any other church. I'm asking you, are you confident, absolutely confident, you received the love of God and responded in faith and trust in Christ, gave him your life? In fact, you might even put it this way. Do you know that you have peace? Do you have confidence? Matthew Henry said, God sent Jesus into this world to negotiate a peace between heaven and earth. That's the reconciliation that Jesus came to have, to bring us to peace with God, to know everything is all right with God. Do you know God's love and the peace of God? Bow your head if you would, please. Father, thank you for your great, great, great love. Jesus, thank you for loving us so much, showing it to us through the death of the cross, the horrible death of the cross. Lord, thank you for your love. Lord, if there's one here today that has never truly, completely trusted in you and what you did for them and all of us, then Lord, give them grace from your Spirit. Draw them to you in these moments. And Lord, as your people today, we thank you. We love you for the love that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me if you would, please. I hope your testimony today is very simple. I know God's love for me. I've responded to it in your faith in Christ. If not, do that as we say. Honor the Lord. Give him glory. Esteem his promise of salvation by trusting Christ as Savior and Lord. As we say.